So you're just about to make the Valentine's phone calls. Do you know who the people are, and do you know what you're about to say yet?
No, I have no idea what I'm going to say. I sort of broke the ice because I called at 5 o'clock because I knew she'd be sitting by the phone waiting for me, and said that I'd be a little late because I was going to do a couple of interviews first.
And it's quite a novel idea to raise money for charity. Who came up with the idea in the first place?
Liz Sorenkin, who runs my website, who we just had a little bit of a kerfuffle. I auctioned some of Giles's glasses off for another appeal. And when I'd said that I wanted to raise something for the RUH Forever Friends, and she said, "Well, why don't we? Much simpler if you just talk to somebody. Why don't we do a telephone conversation?" I said, "Great." And she said, "Well, let's do it for Valentine's Day. It's coming up shortly. It's absolutely brilliant."
And can you tell us more about the Forever Friends appeal? What's it all about?
It's about raising 10 million, 10, 5 million of which they've already raised, which is above and beyond anything that they get from the NHS. And I mean, what I've seen largely has gone towards the children's wards. But they just, for instance, we just opened a garden outside of the children's ward. Really, really sweet little area, lovely area, which was originally sort of some back end of the hospital, which has been nurtured, and they've put a surface down so kids can play out there. And it's a really nice space, and it's, they can look out of the windows. I want to spend more time coming in if I can, just because I don't know how much of a difference it makes, but it feels like you're just bringing another energy in, somebody that's not specifically related to the hospital, but it's just, I don't know, how many Buffy fans they'll be in or Little Britain fans they'll be in on any given occasion, but it seems to go down well. So, and since I'm local, it seems the least I can do.
So, how did you first get involved in the project?
I think they asked me. I mean, I am approached by all manner of charities and organisations, and there is only so much that you can do. But there are certain appeals that appeal to me, excuse the expression, that I find myself drawn to, and that's all you can do. You can't, you can't say yes to everything. And at the same time, I think I'd do, it was the children's aspect of it that appealed to me, and they were very sweet. They said, "If you want to come in and see what we're doing," and I did. And in fact, they just asked me. I think every year they have Ted's big day out, and it's a big fundraising day when they have celebrities and high profile people sort of come along and just basically, and they asked me, and I was working. It was the first time they asked me. I was in the States, and pretty much every year they've asked me, I've been busy. I've been in London, or I've been, basically filming. But I did say, quite early on, I said, "Look, if there's anything I can do otherwise, please count me in." So that's how it sort of started.
And you're involved in quite a lot of other charity work, aren't you, as well, both locally and in other areas too. Can you tell us a bit about the other stuff that you do? Are you involved with the Theatre Royal Egg Project?
I just, yeah, that was something that came through the door, a flyer. It wasn't specifically to me, actually, just sort of looking for sponsors and looking for people to contribute. And I think it's a great idea. It's a space that's for children, and it's a really nice use of the building that's been a cinema for years, but is now part of the Theatre Royal. And I feel somehow linked to the Theatre Royal, because when we first thought about moving down here, it was because I'd sort of, when I did a couple of shows here, and always thought Bath was really special. So I just thought, what can I do? This, I must be able to do something. And then I thought, well, actually, I've got a pair of glasses. Let's see what we can get for that. Auction them and see what we can get. And that went really well, and they were extremely pleased.
And you also run Tilly Farm near Bath, don't you? Which is a centre for companion animals, horses and donkeys.
It's I don't run it. I sort of I'm a very interested observer. It's something that my partner Sarah Fisher, she runs it's the UK Centre for Tellington Touch or T-Team, and it's a way of working with animals. The basic principle is the posture dictates behaviour. If you change an animal's posture, you can change its behaviour. And it's not, it's a basic rule of thumb, but it's pretty guaranteed. I mean, obviously, occasionally you get an animal that has a congenital problem, mental problem. But by and large, most animals, if they are if they're showing discomfort or are challenged by something you're asking them to do, they will show it in a manner of ways that we find challenging. You know, if a horse bucks or rears, we find it difficult, and we usually think that they're doing it because they have some human characteristic. They're cross, but usually they're trying to tell you that they're uncomfortable or they're in pain, or they have some memory of pain. And a lot of animals hurt themselves when they are very young. I mean, horses do an awful lot of displacement and sort of tissue damage when they're hooling around in the fields. And it just that stuff, you know, it gets locked in the cell memory. And even if they're not still in pain, they may actually show some memory of it. So, it's something that Sarah does, and it's horses and all companion animals. Something that it was born in America, Linda Tellington Jones. And Sarah's been doing it, and we've in fact, England is now the most successful nation for team in the world.
Okay, on to some of the acting stuff. So you've over the past few years, I suppose you've attained quite a cult status in Buffy and more recently in Little Britain. Are you surprised by that? How do you feel about it generally?
I am immensely grateful, hugely grateful. I mean, but the bottom line is, you once in an actor's lifetime, you get the chance to do something which, well, you may get the chance to do something which becomes iconic. In fact, it started with a coffee commercial, and that was hugely iconic. Then that actually sent me over to the States because it was limiting what I was being seen for here. So I had to open up the marketplace, and in my wildest, you know, I'd hoped that I would do something over there which would be seen here, so that I didn't disappear off the radar for 7 years. But in my wildest dreams, I couldn't possibly have written the script of, you know, like, well, you're going to get a show that is actually not only going to be seen in countries virtually across the world, but it will also be a huge cult success, and also will be known for its writing and will be a huge critical success. I mean, the likelihood of cult and critical successes happening in one show it's very rare. And then to come back and find myself, you know, I was approached about Little Britain, and initially I kind of went, well, I don't know, you know, do I want to do this? It's a comedy show. And my agent said, yeah, I think you should do it. And I met David and Matt and just thought they were the sweetest, loveliest people. And we started rehearsals, and I thought, yeah, this is really fun. But never in my wildest dreams, I mean, you know, when we recorded it and the audience was really getting it, and I was watching some of the stuff that they'd already filmed and thinking, well, it would be nice if this was a success, but it's way out. I mean, I was laughing till I wept in some sketches. But you don't think, you know, you think, well, it would be nice if it was a success, but it's BBC Three and it's pretty, you know. But it's just astonishing. And in fact, the fact that it was on BBC Three made a huge, huge difference because it was able to build up an audience without all eyes being on it, and it achieved that cult status before it got to mainstream TV. It actually is a brilliant conceit, and I think it's very clever.
So you have enjoyed doing it then?
No, I had a miserable time actually. It was absolutely horrible from beginning to end, and actually the boys, no, it's a gift. It really is, and I have a fantastic time, and they're such nice guys. When we went to the Comedy Awards, they kept sort of every time that the cameras asked for them, they sort of dragged me in between them, saying, he's part of it. It's nice.
I think my favourite character is Kenny Craig, the stage hypnotist.
All around the eyes. I think, well, yeah, everybody's got their favorite. I must admit, I think it's Andy. I do love. Yeah. And when Matt slips the glasses on, he just goes into it straight away, and it's really difficult to have a conversation with him because he'll just talk as Andy. In fact, my mum told me that because they watch Neighbours at lunchtime, and apparently the two characters they did, I think, Look Into My Eyes and also Yeah But No But, Vicky Pollard made its way onto Neighbours.
Are you going to be involved in the stage show at all? Because it's going on tour, isn't it? Are you doing anything there?
We've talked about it, and I don't know. I hope we have further talks, but I can't really commit to a whole tour because it's a big old chunk of time. And what I'd love to do, if we could work it out, is somewhere sort of doing some guests in sort of random cities. Just for my own sake, really. I think I'd certainly like to do something in Bristol. But we'll see. I mean, they may, they've have yet to. We've got to do the TV early. We're going to do that, shoot that in the summer, so they've got a chunk of writing to do. So if they, they do put a show together which is malleable in terms of, taking a sketch out or putting a sketch in or whatever, then maybe we'll talk another way.
And just finally, what can people see you in next? What have you got coming up?
Well, apparently, I just heard this afternoon that True Horror, the series I did for Discovery Channel, they're going to do a DVD. Probably it was five episodes. I'm presuming that'll be a single DVD. It might be two. I don't know. I might do one of those boxed set things. But that was an astonishing series, and actually turned out to be really, really fascinating from a lot of points of view. There's a movie that I did at the end of last year called Click, which is a romantic comedy with a difference. Which I believe will probably come out in the autumn. I don't think it'll be ready before the summer, and it certainly won't be released in the summer because that's blockbuster time. So it'll probably be the fall. There's a TV that I did, which is a mystery. We don't know what's happened to it. Which is an ITV show called MIT, which I did an episode of. Which I don't know.
It's just gone.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Anyway, maybe that'll come out in the spring. More Little Britain. Yes, I found that I was supposed to be doing a film at the end of March, but that went the way of film flesh just today. It's all right. I mean, it's one of those things. Even when movies are greenlit these days, it doesn't necessarily mean that, it's a vivid green. It can sometimes be a sort of slightly pallid green that's hedging its bets.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.